Good evening and welcome to Monroe City Council Chambers. Calling to order the Monroe City Council meeting for Tuesday, May 19th, 2015. And if we could do the roll call, please.
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutaback, Rasmussen, Hamp, Davis, Gamble, and Gary.
Thank you. I am sitting in as Mayor Pro Tem for Mayor Jeffrey Thomas, who's out of town. So, Councilmember Camp, if you would stand and lead us in the pledge.
Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This evening, under announcements and presentation, I have a proclamation to read here. For the 11th Annual Traditional Powwow, whereas the Monroe, Snohomish, and Sultan Public Schools Skykomish Valley Indian Education Program is a federally funded program that focuses on academic support and cultural activities, and whereas the program serves Native American, Alaska Native students preschool through high school age in Monroe, Snohomish, and Sultan public schools, and whereas it is valuable that residents of the city of Monroe be aware of the importance of Native American, Alaska Native education programs, and whereas the Monroe, Snohomish, and Sultan Public Schools Skykomish Valley Indian Education Program and supporting nonprofit parent organization are sponsoring a unique ceremony on May 23rd, 2015, entitled the 11th Annual Traditional Powwow. And whereas partnership, awareness, and cooperation are important themes of the traditional powwow. Now, therefore, I, Kevin Hanford, do hereby thank the Skykomish Valley Indian Education Program and encourage the residents and businesses in Monroe to participate in the 11th Annual Traditional Powwow on May 23rd, 2015. And we have been given, council has been given the flyers from Alexis for the powwow. Alexis, was there anything you want to add to that? Besides the welcome, and if so, go ahead and step forward to the mic. You can just leave it there, and it'll pick your voice up.
My name's Alexis. I'm fifth grade. I go to Chain Lake Elementary, and I'm a Tlingit and a small child.
Wonderful. My mother-in-law's cousin is married to a Tlingit Indian, and so they come all the time for dinner. Did you want to speak, young lady?
Hi, my name is Morgan. I'm in second grade. I go to Sprinkwater Elementary and then Tlingit and Exeter.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Welcome.
So, Alexis, if you want to receive this proclamation on behalf of the City of Monroe.
And my name is Mark Miller. I'm a family liaison coordinator for the program, and I want to thank you all for your support of our powwow. It's a chance to bring the community together and share our culture and have our kids exposed to the Native culture at large, because we have dancers and drummers that come from all over the area for them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. Okay, the next part of our evening is comments from citizens. This time is set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. And we were supposed to sign in, so we'll take those first, and then anybody else that would like to speak after these people that have signed in will be able to speak. The first person I have on the list is Rod Neeson. If you could step forward to the podium and state your name and address for the record, and you'll be limited to 5 minutes,
okay. Just
so you're aware.
I'm Rod Neeson. My address is 12425 75th Avenue Southeast, Snohomish. And it is a little bit of an emotional thing because a close friend of mine died in town on the tracks. I think there's a little bit of shame in it. Maybe there's for me too, any time that I ever used too much alcohol, because I know it impairs people. But he was reportedly drinking too much alcohol. He got stuck in the track on his van, and he got barreled into by one of the trains many years ago, Tony Wakefield. And I think the speed limit in town by the train, I've heard it's 45 miles per hour. I think that's a little bit too high, and I think the speed limit in front of Fred Meyer, 45 miles per hour at the approach to the interchange, is way too high, right up there, 45 miles per hour. So it seemed, and Judge Clough, I would talk with him one night. He agreed that the speed limit, he thinks it's too high. 45 miles per hour, there's no need for a 45 mile per hour speed limit in front of Fred Meyer for that short little strip. And it wouldn't take long to change that sign and make it no more than 35 all the way through town. I think even business would be so much better if it was 30 miles per hour all the way through town and have higher speed limits out on the outskirts where they belong. I think that one of the local police officers told me that the highways are built for 80 miles per hour, so they could, if there's any concern about loss of time for getting somewhere, it could be made up by raising the speed limit a little bit on the outskirts and lowering it in town, and then if they're speeding excessively, they should get a ticket, and if they're not, they should get a break. It just depends on the circumstances. I'm all I'm all for making business better for everyone. I like to think I'm on everyone's side because, unlike my father, he had a deep love for all of humanity. He was a true humanitarian. Well, he died a long time ago. He enjoyed the life of a hero in World War II. And he saved my life many times. So many times, it's almost beyond belief. But he went. As a father, to me, he was superly special. I guess I owe him my life. I know it wasn't perfect. No, the only thing that's perfect is solid nature. But a psychiatrist once described him as perfect, and I had to tell that doctor that no, he was not perfect, but he was an extremely good father, skilled father. Really, he was the kind of person that. Well, I don't get enough chance to see my nephew, but if my nephew is anything like my older brother, then they're really fantastic people. I don't get a chance to see them too often. But anyhow, it seems like it wouldn't take an act of Congress to get that speed limit change in front of Fred Meyer and make it 30 or 35 right there. There's just a short little strip there by the bus stop in front of Fred Meyer that needs to be changed. It would be safer for everyone. And there was a local police officer I was speaking to. He seemed to agree, too. He was watching. I was standing there talking with him, and he seemed to think that, yes, people. He thought one out of every. We were watching the traffic, and he thought one out of every. He wasn't issuing tickets that night. He was closely observing traffic. And a truck had gone over the intersection, had gone over and got stuck in the mud, probably because it was going too fast through town. And I think he thought that about one out of every three drivers was driving way too fast. But he was just, it was his job that night to observe traffic. And I was observing it too, and he doesn't really know exactly how it could be changed, but it seems like it wouldn't be all that complicated of a matter to change that speed limit. So anyhow, thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you. Okay, next on the list is Jim, Sophie, and Cat Wolf. Is that correct?
I'm more of a talker. Anyone who knows Jim knows that. We are coming here because...
Oh, if you could state your name and address for the record.
Oh, sorry. Cat Wolf, and mailing address or physical address?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Mailing address 112 East Main Street, Monroe.
Thank you.
And we're coming here to pretty much discuss, because we have all that construction in front of our building, and it has rapidly dropped our business. We've been in the process of looking into refacing the front of our building, bring it back to the historical original front, get that ugly shingle stuff off that's been there for forever. Because as you know, Jim had recently bought and redid the tavern, and we've been working really hard to get it up to par. And not only has the construction had a serious financial hit on the barbershop, more or less, we have a lot of old timers that can't really get there. And I even brought graphs that I would really appreciate if you guys took a look at.
Sure, if you could hand them to our city clerk. City clerk would be wonderful, and then she'll pass them to us once she gets them in.
But it shows how steady we have been in our businesses, and then since the construction, we have rapidly dropped, especially in the barbershop. And, you know, us looking into refacing the front of the buildings, the permit fees and stuff, it's going to take us a couple months to get caught up from all this. It really will. You know, we aren't all that thrilled about the parallel either, but that's a whole other... But what we're asking is if you guys could consider waiving the permit fees so we can restore the building to the original front, because it's already going to take us a couple months to get caught up. And because we were picking up to the point where we were just going to be able to pay everything outright. And now it's caused such a financial hardship for us, it's going to take us a couple months to get out of it. But we would be asking for you guys to waive the permit fees so we can restore it to the original historic front. Which we also have pictures of what we're looking for. And, you know, Jim and his family have been in that barbershop since...
1970.
And, you know, and Jim has worked there since 87. And it's been something that he's always wanted to do, but never had the opportunity. And now that he owns the building, we'd be really grateful if you guys would consider waiving the permit fees. That way we can get caught up and get everything done, and then, you know, improve downtown a little bit more, because we want to bring it back to original. You know? And if you guys want to take a look at the pictures as well.
Yes, thank you.
I guess that's pretty much all we're asking. Pretty short, simple, sweet, but straight to the point. So.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, is there anybody else? Did you want to speak as well? Yeah, please.
Jim Sophie, 112 East Main Street, Monroe. And yeah, when I first took on the bar and cleaning it up and everything, there was no permit fees downtown. So when I read my roof sign, it says, just do it, you know. Then I went to do the beer garden and stuff, and now they say, oh, we're reinstating the permit fees. Mm-hmm. You know, and we went to go check to have the front tore off and all that, and this friend of mine went down here, and it was like, several thousand dollars of permit fees just for the, you know, the privilege of doing it. So if they could just go back to, you know, how it was with just waive the fee, then it'll extend the, you know, the Dolov Key building. Mm-hmm. Those are all original. I'm going to make it back to the way it looked, you know, in 1901 with the crown, you know, the core bells across the top, and it's going to be like, I got the old photos to kind of go by. Mm-hmm. So it'll the city will like it if I'm able to do it. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all I had on the list of people signing up. Was there anybody else in the audience that wanted to address council?
speak, just two more minutes, possibly?
I'm sorry, it's a limit of 5 minutes per person. Councilmember Green?
Thanks. I wanted to ask a follow-up question about what we just heard with the waiving the fees. And there was a time where we had that, and I thought it sunset. I think this was being referenced, is where we had waived everything. And then that sunset, or the fee waiver ended. Just from a formal standpoint, is that have other people come and asked about that kind of stuff as well? Because it's certainly something that it's worthy of a discussion here for sure, as far as bringing that back and a council discussion item. But I don't know if that was already talked about from the staff on the staff side or not, or are we getting multiple requests like this? Because then we should definitely.
I'd have to defer to Director Feilberg and his experience prior to Dave coming on board.
No, there really hasn't been, because when we looked at it and brought that to the council of how many people had actually used the exemption, there really wasn't that much interest in doing anything down there, and that's why the council assumed to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Wanted to let it expire.
Right, because at the time, I don't think it was. And maybe Jim might have been one of the few people that was doing it. But I know we did, it did sunset. I can certainly understand the case of, I get my haircut by Jim, and it's difficult to get there. I had to walk all the way around the fence to get there. And if I wasn't intentional about doing it, somebody's just going to drive by, and I get that. I get the loss of business going on there, regardless, the improvements are a separate issue. So from that, I'd certainly be in favor of at least bringing it back for a discussion. We should be helping everyone out if we can, especially in the downtown, especially when it's going to look, something that's going to actually make it look more historic and cool. I think that's a great thing. Anyway, thank you.
Taking that for discussion.
When we get to that agenda item, we can talk about when to put it on. But if we can, I'd love to move forward with something like that, so we can have folks, specifically those that are burdened by this, be able to do the things they want to do. And they had those plans before, so thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback?
Yeah, I was going to agree completely, and I think the sooner the better. If there's an opportunity to add this to the agenda next week, if that's... next week is canceled, but the June meeting, and...
Exactly.
This is exactly what we want to encourage. This was one of the reasons we were doing the infrastructure improvements downtown, was to encourage building owners to improve the look and feel down there too with what they put in their building. So I think as soon as possible.
Thank you. And I would just echo that as well. This is exactly what we want to see, is business and building owners doing what you're talking about doing. So kudos. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. If that's it, I'll close the comments from citizens portion, unless there's anyone else that was going to share.
I'll share one more thing. Yay!
All right, we'll move on to the consent agenda.
No way he's going
to. Councilmember Cutterback.
I'll do it for Councilmember Gary. I move to approve the consent agenda.
Thank you.
Councilmember Cutterback has moved to approve the consent agenda, seconded by Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Moving on to unfinished business. Pull it up here. Discussion of the draft RFP for the state legislative lobbying services. And Gene, you have this one.
Thank you. We've spoken this matter three times prior, and there was consensus that council would like to see a lobbyist contract or RFP process outlined. Knowing that, I looked at several different cities, looked at their RFP processes that they had gone through, drafted the proposed draft RFP that's in your packet. Since that was included, I did do some work on it this morning and put a copy, or Ms. Smoot did, in front of you with a few changes that were highlighted. Basically, I gave a little more history on Monroe and I adjusted the language to kind of better fit what I heard council talk about. They not only council wanted to see the lobby services during the 2016 session, but they also wanted it throughout the whole year. So I kind of changed the verbiage there, and that's been highlighted for your consideration as well. We talked about this at the committee level, and so the chair would like to speak on that.
Just to say that, yeah, we did discuss this in the Legislative Affairs Committee today, and I think we're all in agreement that it looked pretty good. It's pretty comprehensive, and I think it was the draft was very well done, so I think this is exactly where we want to go with this. If anybody has anything that questions or anything they might want to add, they might please let us know about that. But other than that, we all approved it and agree with it. So,
Councilor Cutterback.
Thank you. Just a couple of questions about. So I was trying to figure out, because obviously during the session, it would seem like the scope of work or the volume of work would be greater for the consultant during that time versus maybe a August or a June or July, depending on how long the session is, through to October. I see the main part of the job being October through December, beefing up, you know, getting the priorities, our priorities straight, going down there, being down in session for however long it runs, and then doing a wrap-up. So I didn't see anything in the contract that talked about, I would assume maybe they get paid per month or something where it depends on the month and the volume and whether they're in session. So would that be something we would look at? Because it said full year, just a year contract.
Sure, and certainly we could structure it any way that council sees fit. The couple of examples I looked at were month by month.
Okay.
How they had it set up.
Okay, so that was one question. And then another question was, there was one area where it said, it was on page, I think page 5 of 5, where it talks about the factors, A, B, C.
That's my question.
But then it says, each proposal will independently evaluate on factors 1 through C, and 1 through 3. So I don't know if that's just a typo, if it's A through C. And then where did you get the weight of those? Was that based on other contracts that you kind of looked at?
It was, and we talked about that at the committee this evening as well. And typically the way we've done it is have the criteria separate from the RFP. It's a standalone document based in an Excel spreadsheet where we calculate the scores for each applicant. However, when I saw this, I thought it was a better representation for the consultants while they're putting in for this, and I know it's an important position for the community, that whoever puts in for it should have all the information, know exactly what council's looking for, and they could bring forward the best proposal. So I hadn't seen it done this way, quite honestly, but when I noticed it, I want to say it was in Kelso's, I kind of liked it, and I thought, let's give it a look. So if council agrees, we can keep it. If council would rather have a separate standalone document like we've done before for various contracts, we can do that as well.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense to do kind of a matrix on that. And I think you did something similar to the garbage contract.
Absolutely.
When you looked at the different categories, what was important in the garbage contract, and then scored them in each area, and that way you get, you know, a tabulation. So it's a visual scoring of how they did, and hopefully an interview also. And then I didn't see anything in there about termination, or I know it was a year contract, but I didn't see anything in there of, you know, if they're not performing, or if, so I don't know if that was purposely left out, or we just haven't gotten to that.
We haven't gotten to that point yet. When we actually have a contract in place, it'll have some of those key points.
In the contract?
Correct. And I did speak with the city attorney tonight, and he also hasn't had a chance to put in some concerns or some language to address concerns from the legal side of things.
Okay.
lobbyists have to comply by certain rules set forth by law that there's do's and don'ts that they have to do and have to comply by. And so we need to have that language in place as well before we go on.
I would just want to make sure that we're thinking of that in the contract. Obviously, there's a way to terminate, especially if they're not performing to the level that we would like them to. That's it for now.
Okay, before I go to Councilor Gamble, City Attorney, did you want to address that?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Just to build on Mr. Brazel's points, it would be my recommendation that the city would use its standard professional service agreement template for this arrangement with a scope of work and fee schedule attached to it, just like the city does with most of its other service providers that are established in a relationship by contract. That professional service agreement template has virtually all the boilerplate that you're referring to and would, I think, be sufficient to address the city's and protect the city's legal interests. And I'll be happy to work with the city administrator on tailoring that even further to this specific arrangement.
Councilor Gamble?
Yeah, my questions were around actually the ABC as well, and I also had just a little bit of concern around the percentage breakdown there. Because, I mean, just looking at it, you know, first pass, A and C to me are pretty objective, right? You got price and then how they respond to the contract and, you know, and how they, you know, write it up. I guess my question, I just started writing questions down on bullet B, like who determines success? You know, is that, what's the, how do you classify success? That can get a little ambiguous when you get into the lobbying side of things. Anybody that has experience there. So that's my only concern, is that what maybe looking at B and kind of spelling that out a little bit more on how the matrix on how you would score that, especially since it's 55%, as written right now, it's 55% of the overall waiting for selection. So that would be a concern of mine. Thanks.
Councilor McCann?
Thank you. Just in reference to that concept, so wouldn't the person making the proposal, the group making the proposal, be bringing their definition of success for us to see?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was clear on that.
Yep.
So it's not us proposing to them.
Would you yield for a comment?
Of course.
But basically where I'm going, though, is that we do need to have some, in my opinion, we would need to have some sort of baseline. I mean, anybody can sell you a bill of goods on how successful they are with. I'm just saying we need to put some sort of measurement, some more objective way of measuring someone's record. I guess is what I'm saying. Yeah, and how would we, what would be the parameters around that? That's all.
That's fine. Thank you,
City Administrator Brazel.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and do some digging on that point and bring something back. The other point I wanted to bring up to council that we talked about in the committee this evening is my hope is once we get a contract or an RFP that council agrees to, we can have consensus or have a vote on that, and then a later date when we come back and start talking about budget here in June or so, that'll be a separate discussion on whether or not this is a priority at this point in time for council, along with some of the other things we have sitting there for consideration. So
sure.
That's kind of a two-part approach I'm seeing as.
Councilor Green.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate the work that the committee did as well, and appreciate the questions that came up. In the interest of time, I mean, I certainly think that we'd like to get something approved as quickly as possible. It doesn't mean we're spending a dime on it. We would see what we get back, right? And that's in our best interest to see what we're going to get back. Then we can have a serious discussion on, you know, what do we want? And if it's a great thing, then, you know, let's find a way to do it, right? It won't be that long. I know there's special session and all that kind of stuff going on, but it won't be that long till we would want to be talking to these people to get them ramped up for, you know, for next year, right? And so to me, the sooner the better. So I know you got a lot to do. But I'll just weigh in for sooner than later for us to be able to get the RFP out the door and making a decision on what the back office.
So if we could add that
whenever
we talk about the
agenda
item schedule, look ahead schedule,
sure.
That would be great to look at putting that on the docket.
Thank you.
Okay, there's no, it says review, discussion, and direction, so I think we've given direction. So if there's no more discussion, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the 2015 Comprehensive Plan Update, and the presenter is Mr. Osaki.
Mayor and Pro Tem, members of the council, just a quick background. Last week, Bill Bryan from Studio Cascade gave a presentation on the plan. Talked about a lot of things that I think were important for you to know as you head into this process, which are some of the plan designations, some of the target areas, some of the major changes in the city. The Planning Commission continues to work on the comprehensive plan, and they had a meeting last night. They are continuing to go through the policies, and so actually what I'd like to talk about a little bit tonight is process, because the Planning Commission, to their credit, are going through the policies in a great level of detail, enough so that they're actually doing some edits. Some of the edits are intended to be substantive. Some of their concern with some of the policies tend to be how readable they are, and so they've actually created a version of the policies that they call the readability version, which is an alternate version that tries to take some of the policies and put them into the language that maybe is more acceptable or more understood by the general public. So, to the Planning Commission's credit, they are going through the policies in a great level of detail. That's the good part. The other side of that is that when you go through policies in a great level of detail, it's going to take some time. And so I don't want to speak for the Planning Commission other than just to say I get a sense that they're feeling a little pressured time-wise. Now, the schedule that I had seen previously potentially had a city council hearing on the comprehensive plan coming to you on June 16th. Now, if we do that still, one, I can't guarantee that the Planning Commission is going to feel comfortable with what they recommend to you in order to meet that timeline. And two, to satisfy some of our notice requirements, I have to get an ad into the paper sometime this week so it gets published next Tuesday in adequate time for a public hearing on June 16th. So I can still do that in hopes that the Planning Commission is able to get your recommendation sooner rather than later so that you have time to look at the recommendation before June 16th. Their plan is to take advantage of the fact that the council has canceled a meeting next Tuesday night, so the Planning Commission is going to take advantage of that and meet next Tuesday night. I expect them to meet June 1st as well. But whether or not they'll get this wrapped up by June 1st, I don't know. So that's kind of the situation we're in right now. I can schedule a hearing for June 16th for the City Council. If we have a hearing, great. If it's not in a position to have a hearing, we can cancel the public hearing. But I just want you to know the Planning Commission is working very hard right now on the policies, and they're taking some time on it, and I do think they feel a little pressure time-wise.
Thank you. Councilor Green.
Thank you. I sat in on Planning Commission last night, and I am very impressed with the level of detail, and so thankful that we are not doing that they're doing it. So the readability was good. I made them a lot of the things that I saw that we'll get back that they'll be giving to us. It just makes them a lot easier to read. I mean, the content's the same. It's just wordsmithing stuff, and I was impressed and took the time to thank them last night as well. I don't know how in the world that we would make June 16th, and I alluded to that last night when I made some comments. There's a whole other section we haven't even gone over yet. There's the economic development strategy section, which is appendix F in the back. We haven't had a chance to look at that. There's a whole bunch of action items that I saw online as well, and we haven't had a chance to look over those either, and neither have they. So from that standpoint, I don't know how we can possibly have a... I understand that they would feel horribly pressured because you can see that. I feel pressured, and we don't even have it coming to us. We want them to be able to do the right job. This is a once every 10-year process. We need to do it right. I think this is, even a week later, it might be helpful. A public hearing on the 23rd or even, I guess, the 30th is the 5th Tuesday, so we wouldn't do that. But even the first week in July, whatever it takes to do it right. I know that's happened today. But I think it's more important to do it right. Be able to go through it and know what's in it without being rushed rather than just trying to get it done just to get it done, because then it won't be the best quality. Ultimately, our names are on it. We have to sign off on it. And for me, I'm not comfortable with that myself. But let's take the time to do it. From that standpoint, again, I just want to publicly say thank you to the Planning Commission. I'll probably pop in again next week and see how it's going to get a sense of continued sense of what they're doing. We probably need to talk about the others. I don't know why I go over the utility plans and the transportation plans myself, you know, with us, and we take the time to do that. But economic development might be a good one to go over. Maybe we can just do that all on our own, but at least some discussion on it, you know, as a group. I think would be beneficial. We went over all the policies together, and maybe everybody else has already had a chance to look through it. I hadn't had a chance to look through this one yet, so I started last night. As I said, I don't think scheduling a public hearing for the 16th, we will end up moving it, so I think it needs to be a week or 2 weeks later, realistically. Thank you. Great job, everyone.
Councilor Cutterback?
Does scheduling it for the 23rd, does that change anything? I mean, if we're able to do a public hearing on the 23rd, does that still meet the timeline if we're to get it in, or cutting it too close?
No, let me put it this way.
Okay.
And the city attorney may differ, but my view is 1 or 2 or 3 weeks won't make a significant difference.
You mean after the deadline?
Right, because if someone wants to challenge the city, they would have to file a failure to act petition with the Growth Management Hearings Board, and by the time someone even got to that point, you'd be done.
Not exactly.
Now, if you're going to extend it out maybe a month or 2 months, then I suggest maybe passing a resolution like Department of Commerce suggested. It just says, okay, this is all the work we've done to date, which is pretty substantial, and this is our timeline or schedule to complete the process. But 1, 2, or 3 weeks, I'm not as concerned about that as I would be 2, 3 months.
Yeah. So I like having a shoot for the deadline, but I agree with Councilmember Gearing that, still have that deadline, but if it's not where we want it to be, then 2 or 3 weeks. But I like us to try to shoot for that deadline. But I do want it to be right. So that it's a 10-year process. Couple things. How are the comments coming back? You said you can get comments kind of midway from the groups that you've sent things to. Are they coming back? And
The answer is no. Deadline, the 60-day comment period for state agencies completes, I believe it's June 2nd.
Okay.
My sense right now is that those state agencies have so many plans that they're reviewing right now that if we get comments back, it's going to be very close to June 2nd.
Okay. And then you were talking about the readability. Do cities ever, that comp plan, it's huge. I mean, it's a huge binder. Do cities ever kind of pare it down, bullet it, take out kind of some essential things that they think the public wants to need to know and publish it in like a 10-page document or something is that dangerous to do? Something for
I don't think it's
go ahead.
No, I don't think it's dangerous to do, but I think what a lot of cities will do is have a summary or a very crisp executive summary in the very beginning of their plan itself that says, this is what our plan is, this is what it's trying to achieve, this is what our community is all about, and this is how the plan implements that.
And so that's what maybe we need to get out to the public, and if they want more detail, then look into
it. Right. It can either be an element, element's not the right word. It can either be part of the plan itself, right up front,
Sure. Or
a document you put on your website that's really not adopted, but it basically explains that this is what the plan is and what it's all about, and how it's an expression of what our community values are and how we want to grow and develop. And it can be about 3, 4, 5 pages.
Well, and that's what I was thinking of, something like that we publish and put on the website that's accessible and that we can hand out to people or have on our website that then we can direct people to that. So I would be in favor of looking at doing something like that. Of course, after we get the plan done, not interfering with the work we're doing, but doing something like that in the future. So, and I agree, looking at the economic development piece makes sense. So, That's it.
Okay, Councilor Green.
Thanks. Yeah, I totally agree with that too. When we have a link to the product, maybe a link above it that says we can call it Cliff Notes. So it's like summary of comprehensive plan, whatever it is, something that's easy for people to either click on or somewhere we can direct people to say, new zonings, here's what they are, any of that kind of stuff. Ultimately, with regard to the resolution that we need to, that the resolution idea which came from last week, I don't know that there's any reason to delay doing that. We don't have to wait till June 30th to do that, I don't think. I would suggest having a resolution of, hey, here's what we've done as of June 2nd, because hopefully we'll have had our 60-day comments come back by then. Say, hey, we've just received our 60-day comments. I would want to pass a resolution saying where we're at earlier than later. We don't need to wait to the last minute to do it from that standpoint, because we're going to need to do it. It's a safeguard for, being done beyond, why not? We can always change the resolution later, or we can always extend it. We can, and then if we come in early, hey, great, then no worries, right? So it's safeguarding us. I prefer to see a resolution with, here's where we're at, here's when we think it will be done. Yes, we're still targeting June 30th, but, we think, July 15th is a more accurate date, or whatever. I think we should take action, in my opinion, earlier on that than give us a reason to wait. Because then we're already covered, and then let's just get to work and finish the rest of it. My opinion on that, thanks.
Customer Gamble.
Yeah, so as far as, from a direction perspective, I think that's what you're asking or soliciting for right now, right?
Right. Is that I think the general consensus from what I'm hearing is, my opinion as well, that we should be shooting for June 30th. It is a deadline. And so we should shoot for June 30th, but to Councilman Gehring's point, Councilmember Cutaback, we want to do it right, but part of doing it right is if it's one day past June 30th, we need a resolution.
Exactly. Let's do it.
That's my thoughts. So we should be prepared to do both. If that means, so if we're going to be proactive in making sure we have enough time, then I would suggest that we just move the public hearing to the 23rd tonight. I think that's what you're asking. Is that the request? Is to basically push it to the 23rd?
To at least the 23rd. And this will help me out a little bit. By the time you meet June 2nd, there will be at least two planning commission meetings between now and then.
So if we, tonight, were to basically move it to the 23rd, by the next time we get together, we'd have a much, much better feeling on where we're going to land. That's an accurate statement? Okay.
Would you yield just for a comment?
Yeah.
Attorney Lowell, can we, on the fifth Tuesday of a month, can we schedule a public hearing? Is there some rules about meeting on a fifth Tuesday? I thought that would be a special meeting. We could just have a...
If it's not established at in your local meeting protocol, it would necessarily be a special meeting, but there's no reason you couldn't hold a public hearing on that evening as long as it was properly noticed. So in addition to the special meeting notice that you would have to hold or issue, you would also need to follow your regular public hearing notices. But the short answer is I'm unaware of any reason you could not do that, as long as the proper noticing procedures were followed.
I think that qualifies as a special meeting in general. So anyway, thank you for your...
No problem. I think from what I'm hearing right now, I don't think there's any reason why we couldn't basically, just for the, for the sake of we need two more weeks to see where we're at, that we move the public hearing to the 23rd for the record as of right now, and then reevaluate on the 2nd on whether we need to move forward, and then at the same time be looking at the resolution to have that, kind of in our back pocket. Does that work for what you're looking for?
The only item is just not sure by June 2nd how much more time you'll actually need, because in part it'll depend on the comments that come in and how extensive they are. But certainly if you're open to passing a resolution or considering a resolution that evening and maybe having to do another one later on in the month, that's doable.
Right. But as far as you will have 2 weeks between now and then, so you said you'd have two more meetings between now and then. We should have the comments back.
Correct.
We should have the comments back. So we'll be in a better place to
Exactly.
To know where we're at on the night of the 3rd, or is it the 2nd? When is it?
2nd.
2nd. On the night of the 2nd, of, okay, now we, at least we have all the chips.
Right, exactly.
And we have the dates, so then we can be a little more accurate in our projection. All right. I'll yield for other council members, but that would be my drivers would be to go just to move it right now to the 23rd, and then on the 2nd we can see if we keep it or move it past and be working on the resolution at the same time. That way we're still striving to meet the deadline, because when you can even show that in the resolution.
Yep.
Good.
Mr. Green?
Final thing. What date do you want the public hearing on?
You've thrown the 23rd out. I mean, 30th, you said more than 1 week is what I thought I heard you say. And so we should accommodate what the actual need is. I appreciate the 23rd. That's only a week, though, really.
Well, again, I don't feel as concerned about that 30th deadline if it's like a 2 or 3 weeks after that.
Exactly.
So that's not a great concern to me. When I would want the public hearing to be held, when the Planning Commission finishes work. And forward his recommendation.
So even if we do the 23rd, we can, there will still be enough time to say, actually, now we're going to have it on June 30th.
Exactly.
Or now we're going to actually have it on the first meeting in July, whenever, whatever date that would be. Okay. So and there would be no problem. As long as we get proper notice, we can say, hey, the public hearing is postponed to X date. Correct?
You may end up continuing that hearing.
Yeah.
Very good.
That might be.
That kind of thing. Right, yeah, I just wanted to clarify from a procedural standpoint. Whatever makes us look good, I mean, we're going to go past the date. It's just the reality of it. So, but, yeah, we need the resolution. So, thanks, I'm done.
Real quick, Mr. Osaki, how much notice is needed for you to give the public hearing?
For legislative amendments, well, for public hearings in general, it's 15 days in advance. Now, the difficulty with that is the paper doesn't coincide exactly with 15 days.
I guess, let me rephrase that. So our council meetings are on Tuesday nights. So if we want to have a public hearing 2 weeks from our council meeting, that's impossible to do, correct? So how many weeks notice from our council meeting are we able to schedule in advance?
Okay, what will happen is, to meet the 15 days, the notice will have to be in the paper 3 weeks in advance, which means the notice has to go into the paper 3 weeks plus about 4 days in advance. Because it goes into the paper, then it'll get published the next Tuesday. That next Tuesday will be 21 days in advance of your hearing. So
if on a Tuesday night we decide we want to hold the public hearing on this date, the minimum that we can schedule it is 3 weeks from that night. Is that correct? Or is it 4 weeks?
It's almost 3.5. Let's put it this way. If you're going to hold a hearing the 23rd...
You need to know now.
Well, yeah, the notice would be sent to the paper May 29th.
That's what I'm questioning. I'm wanting to count backwards. For planning purposes, do we need to schedule that now, or can we wait? Because it sounds like if we wait until our June 2nd meeting, that's not going to be enough time to even schedule it for the 23rd.
That's true.
Okay. So, my thought is we should go ahead and schedule that tonight. Or you can do that by consensus. Is that correct, Attorney Law? Nodding of heads?
Yes.
Just discussion to give direction.
Staff direction.
Okay. That's my thought, but I'm open to hearing other thoughts. Councilmember Gamble, you're next?
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. I still would have a desire to shoot for the 23rd. While I understand that we may go past the 30th, I think it's not in good nature for us to be sitting here a month, more than a month in advance, and saying we're just not going to hit it, because we don't know how the process is going to go between now and then, and we should always be striving to hit a state mandated
deadline because you never know what's important to them. Yeah, exactly. So I just would want to make sure in that, you know, in that regard. Why, you know, you may be exactly right. 2 or 3 weeks might not make a, you know, a difference. I wouldn't want to be on the other end of a communication that says otherwise. So as much as possible, if we can, and if we can, that we'd have the resolution in place. So I don't want to. I guess I just don't want to plan to fail on meeting that, not meeting that deadline, you know, today. And fail is a harsh word. Councilman Guerin doesn't like that. He's all kinds of. But you get my drift. Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Okay. So just so I can kind of consolidate everything that we've heard to make sure that we're all on the same page and that city staff is understanding correctly, Mr. Ozaki. What I heard was that council would like us to go ahead and schedule the public hearing for the 23rd and that we would like to plan to still make the date, but if we're not going to, then we definitely want to do a resolution to extend. Anything different than that? Mr. Ozaki, do you have everything you need?
I'm good, thank you very much.
Thank you for all your work on this. Okay, that wraps up unfinished business. So now we can move on to new business. And we're looking at AB 15093, authorizing the mayor pro tem to sign 2015 Evergreen State Fair Traffic Control Services Agreement. The presenter is Chief Klinzer. He is out of town. Debbie Willis is here from the Monroe PD, and I'm not sure if you wanted to say anything about that, or if City Administrator Brazel had
something Jean was about to add, that's fine. This is our yearly contract that we have with the fair. This will be our ninth fair that I've been here. And every year, there's no major changes that I'm aware of to this contract. The contract, the officers provide off-duty or overtime traffic control for the fair during the major events. It's every evening. And some of your bigger days, they're there.
All right. Perfect. Thank you for that. Did you have anything that you wanted to add?
Nothing else.
Okay. I believe it's Councilmember Gamble, then Camp, and then Cutterback. So, Councilmember Gamble.
All right. I'd like to make a motion to authorize the Mayor Pro Tem to sign the General Services Agreement with Snohomish County for Traffic Control Services during the 2015 Evergreen State Fair.
Second. Okay, motion's been made by Councilmember Gamble, seconded by Councilmember Camp. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Camp, did you still have anything you wanted to add? Okay. Now we'll move on to final action. That's AB 15-094, resolution number 010-2015, approval of Holzerland PRD plat. And it's still pulling up here, but looks like presenter is Mr. Ozaki again.
Council, if I might.
Attorney Will, yes.
While Mr. Ozaki is preparing his opening remarks, I think it would be appropriate, if it's permissible, Mr. Deputy Mayor, for the council to undergo the appearance of fairness disclosure process briefly.
Sure.
Thank you. Council, this is a quasi-judicial matter because it does involve a application of the city's regulations to a specific piece of property with specific applicants in an open public hearing that was held before the city's hearing examiner. Because of that, the appearance of fairness doctrine does apply. The appearance of fairness doctrine, as you know from previous proceedings, is a legal doctrine in Washington that requires quasi-judicial proceedings to be fair not only in fact but in appearance. And the legal standard under the doctrine is whether a disinterested person being appraised of all relevant relevant considerations would have reason to believe that a particular council member's interest in the matter may affect his or her judgment. And with that standard in mind, I'd like to lead the council through a brief series of questions. If the council does not have an affirmative answer and just responds by nodding or silence, the record will show that no council member raised an issue that would trigger the doctrine. The first series of questions deals with the area of personal interest. Does any council member have a financial interest in the project or the underlying property? Does any council member have a family member who is a party of record? Does any council member have a personal or familial employment or other business relationship with a party of record? Does any council member own property within 500 feet of the project site? Is any council member aware of any other personal interest or involvement with the project, the parties of record, or the property that should be fairly disclosed? Please let the record show no affirmative responses. The second series of questions deals with the larger issue of impartiality. Is any council member aware of any personal bias for or against any party or for or against the project? Has any council member prejudged any of the issues? Has any council member not reviewed the record materials for this project? Is any council member aware of any reason why he or she would not be able to perform his or her duties in an objective, impartial, and fair manner? Please let the record show that there were no affirmative responses to that series of questions as well. The final series of questions deals with the issue of ex parte communications. Has any council member had any ex parte contacts regarding this project while the proposal has been pending before the council? Thank you. At this point, the floor should be open briefly for an opportunity, any parties of record, to challenge the participation of any council member based upon the responses given tonight by the individual council members and or any other information known to the prospective challenger, keeping in mind that failure to raise an appearance of fairness challenge immediately when the basis for challenge becomes known has the legal effect of waiving the challenge conclusively. So the floor should be open for any challenges to that effect, and the record will demonstrate that no such challenges were made. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I had a question before Mr. Osaki continues. I received a text from a friend of mine that lives in the foothills. It was right before I left town in April. And they were concerned about all the things going on. I didn't reply to the text, so just being open and upfront about this, everything, just wanted you to know that for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I think it would be appropriate for the floor to be opened once more for the record if anyone would like to challenge the participation of the Deputy Mayor based on that contact and or to submit a rebutting point of view or rebut the substance of the message that was conveyed to Mr. Hanford. Please let the record show that nobody took that opportunity. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Osaki.
Mayor Pro Tem, members of the council, I'll give a brief presentation on the Holzenland preliminary plat and planned residential development and the hearing examiner recommendation. The hearing examiner held a public hearing on this plat and PRD on April 16, 2015. He issued his recommendation on April 30th, and now this is before you for final action. The zoning of this property is urban residential 6,000, so the proposal is for 71 lots on about 15.5 acres. And actually, 15.5 acres would support 90 units, but this proposal, because of certain critical areas, is only proposing 71 units. The access into the site would be onto Roosevelt Road, a new access at this location to Roosevelt Road. And I'll just note that this road here will actually be and serve as the access into Bear Mountain States, which you just recently considered, and then access also will be out to White Mountain Road at this location, so there's two access points. The planned residential development, again, the applicant is not requesting an increase in the number of units or density through the planned residential development process. but what the planned residential development process allows in this particular zoning designation is a reduction in lot width from 60 feet to 40 feet and a reduction in lot size or lot area from 6,000 feet to 3,700 feet. And so you'll have some certain lots in this particular plat that go as low as 3,800 feet, although there's some certainly that meet the minimum, the normal minimum of 6,000 square feet. And I believe there's one or two lots that go as high as 9,000 and 10,000 square feet. But as part of getting the concessions for a reduced lot width and smaller lot size, the PRD requires superior design under a normal subdivision process. And so among the items that are included in this particular plat is that typically a plat would need to provide about 675 square feet of park area per unit, and in this case that would add up to about 48,000 square feet. The applicant's actually providing an additional 6,000 square feet of park area and open space. Also, you'll see that this dashed line is a trail, so it's a meandering trail that goes through the plat through some open space areas, and that's an additional amenity that the applicant's providing. And then, just by virtue of having a wetland at this location, the applicant is combining a park area here in conjunction with that wetland, and the hearing examiner found that that particular feature, locating open space park area within, basically centrally located within the plat itself, was a nice design feature as well. So those are some of the balances that the hearing examiner found as part of this particular application, and found that the criteria for planned residential development had been met. There are some critical areas on the site. There's a wetland here, and a wetland here as well. So there's three wetlands. And actually, in this particular wetland area, there is an abandoned eagle's nest. And so the applicant submitted a wetlands analysis and also a bald eagle habitat management plan. And the hearing examiner findings were that those were satisfactory, and all the impacts to the wetlands and to the bald eagle's, inactive bald eagle's nest, had been mitigated. And so there were seven comment letters. Five of those letters were actually from agencies like the PUD, Puget Sound Energy. There was actually, I'll just point out, maybe one item that may be a little unique on this hearing examiner recommendation. One of the seven comment letters came from a property owner at this location, and his comment was he was concerned about headlight glare onto his property, into his windows on his property. And so the hearing examiner added a condition to his recommendation and basically asked staff to evaluate the headlight glare that may occur at this location onto this individual's property, and staff would be working with the applicant if there was some validity to the fact that there could be headlight glare into this individual's windows, the staff would work with the applicant to develop mitigation to address that, which is probably a little bit different than we would normally find in a lot of conditions, but the hearing examiner did have that to address that individual's concern. So the resolution before you would basically approve the hearing examiner's recommendations with the conditions that are identified in the hearing examiner's decision. That concludes my staff report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Councilmember Green.
I'm going to move to approve resolution number 010/2015, adopting the hearing examiner's findings of fact, conclusions of law, recommendations, and conditions of approval for the Holzerland Preliminary Plat, Preliminary Planned Residential Development PRD, 14-SDPL-0002 and 14-PLPR-0002.
Second.
Okay, the motion has been made by Councilmember Gain and seconded by Councilmember Cuddeback. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. Thank you for answering or for talking about the Prin. I think it's the Prin House because that was new. I hadn't seen something like that about light trespass. So you answered my question on where that was on the map. And then the park space and the trails. I would assume that the city then is responsible for the upkeep of that, or is it the
homeowners association?
Okay, so the homeowners would. Okay, great. Last question: there was quite a bit of discussion in there about the schools and about sidewalks and whether it was a walking school, because obviously the Frylands Elementary is down on Frylands, but whether they're going there or not, and they talked about the bus stop. So do schools take a look at this plan, does anyone from the school district ever look at this and add input?
The school district gets notice of the application. But whether or not they commented or not, well, obviously they didn't comment.
They didn't comment, so I was curious, because they talked quite a bit about that. It came up a few times in the...
And the context of that is under state law, in considering a subdivision, one of the criteria is that there's safe walking
right.
facilities to schools. And so the issue that came up at the hearing was, is there a school to even walk to nearby?
Yes. I mean,
so,
it doesn't seem like it, but...
But what satisfied the hearing examiner was that the bus, the school bus at least, would probably come into... this neighborhood here, or it might come in this neighborhood here, and there were sidewalk facilities that led to where the school buses might pick children up. And so, to that extent, the hearing examiner was satisfied that that criteria had been met.
And then to go back to the light trespass, so it briefly talked about that if it was found, I mean, it's really the staff who are going to investigate that and come to a conclusion whether it's there or not, and then the mitigation might be what?
It could be the applicant contributes and works with the property owner to do maybe a fence or a portion of a fence or maybe shrubbery or anything that could block headlight glare from the individual's property. So it's a two-step process. Is there an issue to begin with?
Sure.
And yes, if there is, what's the type of mitigation? Shrubbery or fence might be an option.
And then as far as White Mountain Road, where does that go to? I know that was one of my questions was kind of the egress and ingress. So obviously Roosevelt Road up there down, which then connects, I forget what street that is.
White Mountain cuts all the way across the farm.
So the foot, so it goes
all the way from one side to the other.
Okay. And there's no, there didn't seem much concern about traffic or at all with Bear Mountain up there and this up there, there didn't seem to be much concern about traffic.
And
so,
you're right.
Nothing. Okay.
Nothing. And the only other item that I'll just add, because it's part of the record in the CEPA documents, the applicant does say that all construction activity will come out directly to Roosevelt.
We'll go down right. Roosevelt Road. Okay. Okay. All right. That's it. Thank you.
Mr. Sachi, I'm looking at Google Maps here, and looks like White Mountain Road.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry, pardon me. I think it's important that the council confine its consideration of this proceeding to the closed record. If the council is going beyond the four corners of the packet materials tonight, I don't think that would be appropriate.
Okay. So my concern is that Frylands Elementary is a walking-only school. There aren't school buses that I'm aware of that service that school. So I understand that maybe the middle school and high school buses go to White Mountain Road, but where I was going with that was how is that being satisfied with it being a safe to walk to school? Are there sidewalks? I mean, what are the criteria for that? Because you said they passed it because buses come there, but buses from the Frylands Elementary don't go. They don't have buses. So.
I actually don't have the specific RCW language in front of me. I was 5817, but it's a small part of it.
The state walk to school?
And the specific quotation is... that the city's legislative body, in approving a particular proposed plat, shall consider all relevant facts, including sidewalks and other planning features that assure safe walking conditions for children who only walk to and from school.
Who only walk to and from school.
That's the specific reference.
Councilor Gain and Gambler are correcting me that in this address they go to Chain Lake Elementary. So there's a bus for that. Thank you for that clarification. Okay, all right. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion on the floor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Okay, council member reports. Councilmember Gearing.
Thanks. First, a couple questions, and then just a report. We got an email about H3O. Is there any update? Was that email yesterday? I can't remember what the email was sent. Do we think we're on schedule for June 2nd? I was just curious about that.
I hope so. I reiterated to Mr. Smith that I have to get the outline as far as the new criteria is, the scope of work. That has to get to the city attorney's office so that the city attorney can start working on the contract amendment or if we need a new contract or whatever. But we've received nothing at this time for the attorney to even start working on. Okay. And so I did reiterate that again to them.
I appreciate it, yeah. I appreciate the email that you sent as well. And then another update. East Monroe is still behind. I think last time you gave us an update on that, they were still waiting on stuff from whatever that pace is up in the I can't remember the name of it.
Correct. And I'll defer to Mr. Osaki to give a bit of an update on that.
And maybe during staff time, that's fine. I'm just curious about that. So, had an opportunity over the weekend to go to in Sultan, they have a pretty well established. Neighborhood watch program, and I know we're a much bigger city than Sultan is, but it was very interesting to hear and watch the community, the neighborhood captains come together for a meeting I got to attend. And always been interested in that for my own neighborhood, and so I was curious to meet and see what it's all about. And have noticed in the past I've seen maybe one or two of the blue eyeball signs around town. I think there might only be one or two around town, but from that standpoint. I was certainly interested in myself for my own neighborhood. I didn't know either. Some of us live on more through streets than others, and so it might not make sense if you're trying to keep track of who's coming and going in your neighborhood. But I'm in a cul-de-sac, and it doesn't make sense in mine. Even outside of council, I have a personal interest in this, and perhaps I'm seeing what else might be able to be done. If anybody else might be interested about them in their neighborhood, I mean, looking into stuff like this, I'd certainly be. Willing to pass along to something you're interested in for your neighborhood and then just not reinvent the wheel and stuff like that. And there's some other people in town that are doing as well. But again, I haven't seen, I'm not even sure it's there anymore, but they had suggested, you know, no more than 10 houses in a group where and it takes somebody who knows everybody in each house, somebody, you know, who will actually go to the doors, knows the cars in the neighborhood, things like that. And as we've seen, with upticks in crime, there's been success in Sultan. They've been able to clean up some of the areas that they wanted to. From that standpoint, they did make a little bit of a joke that the people they used to see in their town are now here in Monroe. So, again, it was some city neighborly ribbing as well, but they were certainly very interested in providing any help and the successes they've had. Here's what's worth. I'm interested in it, certainly from my neighborhood, both as a council and as a resident of the city type of a thing. So, if there's any interest, I'll certainly report back on how I do. And if there's interest as well, I'll certainly pass it along. So, I got to do that over the weekend, which is really cool. I think that's it.
Hey, Councilmember Gamble.
Since I live around the corner from you, yeah, go ahead and throw me in.
You're in?
Yeah. You're going to be counting my car, so.
Yeah, the best thing. Called cops.
So Saturday, great day. Spring cleanup. I went up there. It looked like it was a pretty big success. A lot of folks partaking in that. Definitely saw it and went through. They did a great job. The line was long when I went, but the good news was they were processing people really well. I thought the flow was pretty good. So nice job on that all the way around. Also, middle school kids on Saturday were, so I was at the, doing that. And the middle school kids from Park Place and actually would it be from Hidden River as well were up at the solo ensemble competition local up, where was it? Stanwood, Camano Island. So that was on Saturday. They did a great job. I always like to pub the local music scene because this is the first year that we've had finally have a feeder program within the middle schools choir, and next year is actually growing to two choirs
So we're really starting to see that, having the arts program grow within the middle school to feed the high school. And that's typically where you have to start before you get a kind of a pronounced, you know, program at the high school level. And there's definitely some good stuff happening up at the high school level too. So that's really really neat to see. And then Mike, I know that today I think kicked off the district playoffs for the girls softball, and they're at Sky River. So there's a lot of excitement. I know a lot of the little league teams were going down to watch the high school girls play, and just a great way to showcase our park system again in the community. I know we're down there right now. I was down there before I came. So anyway, just a lot of stuff going on, and our parks are definitely shining in the baseball season now as we head into tournament season. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's it.
Okay. Councilmember Davis?
Nothing. Thank you.
Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. I have to echo that about cleanup day. It was probably the high point of my spring. Matter of fact, I heard a comment from one person as we were standing around that they considered this a reverse Christmas, that instead of going someplace, standing in line, and picking stuff up, you're going someplace, standing in line, and getting rid of it. So other than that, great job to the city staff, to the garbage folks, to everybody who handled it. I'm always impressed on how smoothly it runs and how accommodating they are to some of that really strange stuff that you find in your garage. And that's it for me.
Councilmember Rasmussen?
Nothing tonight.
Councilmember Cutterback?
Monday is Memorial Day. The YMCA on Monday allows any active military, retired military in as a guest. So.
Okay. I actually had to work this last Saturday, so Friday night I loaded my trailer up, as tradition holds, and pushed it over in my neighbor's driveway, and he took full advantage of filling it the rest of the way, and made, I think, two or three more trips, and when I got back from work, my trailer was empty and in my driveway, and so it was a great display of neighborly love and teamwork. So, and I heard a lot of people, and some of the things I saw on Facebook as well was just positive reviews. This is so great. Go get rid of all your stuff for free. And so I think it's definitely a good investment. I believe that's all I have. Moving on to staff department reports. Ben? Nothing. Mike?
Thank you. Yes, as Councilman Gamble mentioned, we definitely are honored to continue to host every year of the Wesco District Tournament. And today there are games, and then there will be another round of games on Thursday, and hopefully won't be makeup games Friday or Saturday. And then this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, is the Triple Crown Memorial Day Youth Baseball Tournament. So we are in the tournament season. And I just want also to mention that tomorrow I have scheduled repairs to the highly worn out areas of the Rotary Field. We have just from use and wear and tear, those fields are used heavily throughout the year around home plate, around pitching area, that sort of thing. So.
Cool.
Make the repairs tomorrow and be ready for games by the evening, actually. So that's it.
Thank you. Diane?
The cleanup on Saturday, the count was approximately 513 participants. Last year it was 546, so a little bit less, but still comparable. It's a well-attended event. I also wanted to point out that the city receives about $25,000 to $30,000 a year in rebates from using our purchasing cards instead of writing checks. And because we piggyback on the state's contract for purchasing cards, we're also going to get an additional $5,800 just because they spent so much money. So in rebates. So I'm just going to let you know. Pinch every penny.
Good. Wonderful. Thank you. Mr. Osaki.
A couple things, because I know every time I come to these meetings, I talk about another plat, but potentially this Thursday, we have another plat application that will be coming in called Skyview Ridge, about 42 units north of Eagle Mont. It may get rescheduled because the applicant's still working on one little piece of information, but I would expect that to come in fairly soon. East Monroe, 2 weeks ago, I indicated that the applicant, or I had gotten a new EIS from PACE, a draft EIS for review. It took a few more days for a few more things to come in, and just turned it around that following Monday and gave my comments back. And I would say that PACE and I and the sub-consultants have pretty much been having discussions every day since that time. And I'm hoping that PACE will give me a new version to look at sometime this week. Appreciate it.
Thank you for that update. I want to take a moment just to thank you, too, for... I know the planning department is understaffed right now, and so thank you for all the work that you are doing in the current conditions. Okay, Debbie Willis.
On the positive, last Thursday we had the opportunity to plan and do a DUI reenactment at the high school. If any of you heard or were able to see it. It's been 7 years since we've done this. Very powerful message, right before prom. Mm-hmm. And as a reminder, we had some great high school actors and actresses, and we even had Airlift Northwest come in and set right down on the field in front of them and take off. So I thought it was a really good and good reminder to our students. And on the other side, probably the last 10 days, you're aware that we're investigating the homicide now up at the prison and a recent death investigation over the weekend. So our investigators are very busy.
Thank you for that update. Just wanted to comment that I heard rave reviews about the DUI demonstration. And just from what I heard, the entire stands were dead silent while that was going on, which is kind of unheard of for a couple thousand high school students. So thank you for doing that. Councilmember Gearing?
Thanks. I just want to say the same thing. My son was there. He was, you know, blown away by it, impressed. I also knew one of the people who was speaking is a friend of mine as well. Diane was one of the speakers about her sister, who she had lost in a drunk driving accident. So very... an emotional thing, but what a great event to have, and right before prom too is
absolutely
the appropriate moment to have it. Just, you know, it needs to be, and whoever planned the helicopter thing, that was awesome. What a great, I mean, you can't forget that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and here it is, I get all misty thinking about it, because, you know, it's a tough thing. So
anyway, I certainly appreciate that. I wanted to ask about the Al Borland Park. Some people were talking about that. I don't know if there's an update on that, too.
We do know that it's a male now, and we expect something from the medical examiner's office on identity and cause of death.
Because a lot of people are yapping about it. I didn't know if there was an official something or other, or that's to come later type of thing.
It's to come later. Okay. Medical examiner is responsible for that information.
Okay.
So.
Very good. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Brad?
Hey, work continues downtown. Everybody down there lately, the pavers are being installed on the south side of East Main. I saw boulders in the hole at lunch today, so they're getting installed on the south side there, and they've also poured the sidewalk on the west side of South Lewis Street, so that's going real well out there. And gone out to bid for the West Main project to finish that off, and that would be before the council for award on June 2nd.
I drove down Main Street on the way to our meeting tonight. And was very impressed with the stone. I mean, it just looks really good. So I know we're in a painful period, but I think at the end it's going to look really nice. So, okay. Let's see. Administrative reports. Mr. Braswell.
Yeah, the only thing I would add is I just wanted to thank the contractor. They've been doing a phenomenal job downtown. Any concerns that have popped up, they've been right on it. And they're just really going over and above. want to make that statement that I appreciate what they're doing up there for everybody.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Have a draft agenda for June 2nd, 2015. Announcements and presentation. Take the next step. I'll be here doing a brief presentation on their services. Consent agenda. For unfinished business, we have the contract amendment with H3O. That's tentative. 2015 comprehensive plan update. Business, we have approval of bid award for West Main Street sewer separation project. And then we have the Finance Human Resources Committee. And I guess I should ask if we have a quorum for that meeting.
I'll be here.
Which one is that?
Finance.
Oh, finance?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Councilor Green?
And could we, I would ask, could we, as part of our comprehensive plan update, maybe have the economic appendix F be one of the discussion items for 2 weeks from now? It gives everybody a chance to read it and bring any comments we might have.
I'll second that, yeah.
It's appendix F. I found it, it's online. It's appendix F. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Brazel?
And this evening we talked about potentially bringing back the waiving of fees downtown. Director Fowler has already run to the office and updated the ordinance that was in place several years ago. And so I would assume that we should be ready to have something for council to review on June 2nd if that's...
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Brad.
And in regards to the RFP, I can also have that ready for the second, if that is council's pleasure.
Okay. Yeah. Later works for me.
Okay. We'll do it.
Good. Any questions or additions for Brett or Gene? The only thing I would say, just to clarify, it sounded like you said that you're waiting to hear from H3O. So you can get Attorney Lell the information so that he can review it before our June 2nd meeting. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And the way it's looking now, if I don't have it by day's end tomorrow, it won't make it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Looking at the long-term schedule, the only thing I would just bring to your attention, July 4th is on a Friday, so I don't foresee any challenge with, you know, having to cancel a meeting in July, but just something to be aware of as you're making your plans. If you're going to be gone, let the mayor know so that we can make that plan.
All right.
Okay, at this time we have a need for an executive session for the pricing of property, lasting about 10 minutes. I'll ask Attorney Lowe for RCW.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pursuant to RCW 4230-110. The council will now convene an executive session for approximately 10 minutes to consider the potential acquisition of real property. The council is not anticipated to take any action in open session when you reconvene except to formally adjourn the meeting.
Correct. Okay, so at this point we'll move into executive session. Okay, we're back in session. Councilor Campbell.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion's been made by Councilor Gamble, seconded by Councilmember Gearing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.
Awesome.
cost a little bit.
Excellent job.
Thanks.
Nice job.
You were natural.
I like you in this role.
Natural.
Yes, sir. It's fine.